"It's not about you," my friend said, his vowels dragging with southern twang. I had been spinning over a situation that wasn't mine to solve. I wanted answers. I wanted control. Like many type A firstborn daughters, I wanted to fix it all. His words lodged in my chest. Over the course of the week, I began to notice how pride had been showing up in me. Not the obvious, boastful kind we easily condemn in others. This pride was more subtle. A quiet, self-centeredness that kept casting me as the protagonist in every room. As I gave his words more thought, I realized I wasn't worried about solving the problem so much as I was worried about what someone would think of me if I couldn't. I witnessed this pattern of pride in other people all the time. At the store, in conversation, and especially in politics. But now, I was seeing it in myself. And once you recognize pride in yourself, you can't really unsee it. That moment of awareness is when the real work begins. As I started to pay attention, it didn't take long to recognize the traces of pride in my daily movements. In the way I drove, like I was the only one in traffic, and the way I crossed my arms in the coffee line, as though my time were worth more than anyone else's. And the way I rushed through the grocery aisle, certain my dinner plans were the most urgent. I began to notice how I stormed through life. Trudged, really. As if my timeline mattered most. As if my needs should be met first. It's not easy to admit these things out loud. And no, I haven't always been like this. But lately, I've felt a twinge of selfishness, a subtle survival mode creeping back up in me. My friend's words had cracked open my awareness, and I could see the truth more clearly. Pride doesn't just live in headlines or obvious arrogance. Pride hides in the small, everyday ways we insist on our own importance. Pride blinds us from reality. From the fact that everyone around us, every driver, barista, shopper, is navigating their own complexity of burdens, joys, and invisible battles. That's the blinding danger of pride, isn't it? Pride shrinks the world down until we're the only ones in it. But when we talk about pride, we're not just talking about arrogance or vanity. The word itself comes from the Latin word prodesse, to be of value, to be useful. I find that fascinating because pride, in excess, isn't about having too much self-worth. It's about having too little. The inflated person is often the insecure one. The one shouting, "Look at me, I matter," is often terrified that deep down, they don't. Pride is a mask, a protrusion of character, a cover for the fear that we are ordinary, overlooked, invisible. And I get it. We all want to know that our days are worth something, that our lives carry meaning, that we matter. But here's the irony. We don't have to project ourselves to matter. Which leads to the question at the heart of this episode. If pride is a mask, what is it hiding? Often, it's a quiet hunger for something deep and internal. Something we can't borrow from the world, but must find within ourselves. Psychologists Edward Deci and Richard Ryan, through the self-determination theory, suggest that humans are wired for three things. Autonomy, competence, and connection. We want to know that we have agency. We want to know that we can do things well. And we want to belong. When those inherent needs aren't met, pride rushes in to fill the gap. We project our value outward, hoping someone else will notice and hand it back to us. As I'm getting older, I'm learning that true self-worth doesn't come from applause, acknowledgement, or being noticed. Self-worth is quieter than that. Less a shout into the void, and more a steady pulse you learn to trust. As Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh said, "You are enough. You are a wonder of life." Which is why I keep returning to that old phrase, seek first to understand. Pride is loud. Pride wants to be understood. Pride wants recognition, validation, confirmation. It wants the world to stop for its drama, to echo back its importance. I felt pride's pull, in traffic, in line at the coffee shop, racing through the grocery aisle, insisting that my timetable mattered most. But humility leans the other way. Humility wants to understand, to step into someone else's story and ask, what is this person carrying? What are they waiting for? What are they trying to say? Philosopher Martha Neubaum calls this our moral imagination, the capacity to place ourselves imaginatively in another person's life, to see the world through their eyes. She argues that this is not sentimental or passive. It's ethical work. Moral imagination asks us to stretch beyond ourselves, to confront the discomfort of difference, and to recognize the hidden burdens, joys, and contradictions in others. When we shift from needing to be seen to choosing to see and understand, the world changes shape. The traffic no longer feels like a personal affront. The line at the cafe becomes a space of patience rather than entitlement. And the rush through life eases just enough to notice the humanity around us. Understanding is not agreement. It's presence, proximity, the choice to meet life, messy, imperfect, and real, on its own terms, rather than insisting the world bend to ours. And that small shift, practiced again and again, can reshape the way we live. Noticing the ways pride had showed up in my life, how it made me rush, insist, claim center stage, I find myself making a new declaration. I want my work, my writing, my podcasting, my everyday movements to be about others. I want to trust the quiet, almost invisible law of reciprocity, that the care we give, the attention we extend, the patience we offer, it doesn't vanish. It returns to us when we need it most. I want to notice more, to act less from impulse and more from intention. I want to see, listen, and hold space for the lives unfolding around me. I want the small acts, the brief gestures, the pauses, the words I hold or speak, to matter. I want to live this way. Not perfectly, but deliberately. Not out of duty, but from curiosity and care. I want to remember that the world is larger than my own assumptions of it, and that my story is only one thread in the vast interwoven fabric of other people's lives. I want to get into the flow of my life, into a life where pride loosens its grip, where awareness precedes action, where connection, attention, and humility guide my way forward. And when I think about flow, not just in the abstract, but as a lived experience, I see it differently. The kind of flow Alan Watts described, where we stop pushing against the current and begin moving with it, letting life carry us rather than resisting. The flow Eric Butterworth wrote about, where surrender isn't weakness, but alignment, where letting go of control allows something greater to take shape. When we loosen pride's grip and let awareness guide our actions, Life stops being a series of battles over importance or attention. Life becomes a river we can enter. Sometimes turbulent, other times calm. Where our choices, our small acts of care, ripple outward in ways we can't always see. And in that flow, we discover something miraculous. Life, with all its pressure and expectation, begins to move more smoothly. Encounters feel lighter. The world stops feeling like a contest and starts feeling like a conversation. Invisible threats, the shared struggles, unnoticed acts of generosity, brief glances of empathy begin to surface. Flow is not a destination. Flow is the practice of noticing, yielding, and engaging with life beyond ourselves. And in stepping deliberately into that flow, the moments we thought were insignificant become the moments that matter most. And in noticing this flow, we begin to see ourselves and others differently. It's a shift that carries into everything we do. Flow is not perfection. It's practice. We remain works in progress. Learning, noticing, being undone and remade by the lives around us. You may not struggle with pride like I do. Yours might be fear, control, or resentment. We each carry our own shadows, often invisible until life forces them into view. Awareness is always the beginning. Awareness is our turning point. When we become aware, the world softens. The grocery aisle, traffic, the line at the cafe all transform into a small intersection of invisible struggles and joys that we can become a part of. So tread lightly. Listen closely. Notice the lives unfolding around you, even in the smallest, almost invisible ways. Remember, you are enough. You are a wonder of life. So is the person standing beside you. So move with life, not against it. Let pride loosen its grip. Let awareness guide you. Let connection, curiosity, and humility be the threads you follow forward. In the quiet, deliberate flow of your days, may you discover that the moments you thought were small are the very moments shaping the world.